welcome to D&D, the Dinner Party Role Playing Podcast. I'm your host and Dungeon Master James Gressel. With me today are the fun people. Say hi, fun people.
Hi! Hello. We're so excited to be here. It's been so long. I've missed this so much.
It's been a long time.
We just instantly wake up the dogs. They all just sat up.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you could hear me or not, but you can. I'm here.
Yeah, that would have woken up the dogs.
It was April 29th, the last time we recorded.
April 29th, 1992.
Almost 2 months.
It's like he did a parody.
Yeah, we're gonna get demonetized.
Because parody. It's fair use.
And I don't think the podcast boss can demonetize us.
Yeah, podcast boss, come fucking fight us.
Well, you just swore. Now we're gonna get demonetized again.
No,
we'd be in big trouble if that were true.
F words. Will only demonetize you if they're in the first 7 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Only really?
They weren't? Yeah. Or if they are in a majority of the sentences you say, meaning over 50%. So we're good on fucking swearing.
Yeah, I think we're good. You'd have to really try.
Yeah,
over 50% is a lot.
That's a lot. However, a single C word demonetized.
Oh, as we learned from my kill count.
Yep, had to go back and censor it.
Really?
Oh.
It's a terrible word.
Not fair to the Brits and the Australians.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I think that word's cute.
I think it's the single best swear word possible.
It is very
because
funny.
Because it's still...
The hard K sound is very good.
Well, it's also the only one that's still shocking to use, but like not bigoted.
But then people go, well, why though? You know?
What do you mean?
Why is it shocking?
Yeah, like I understand why all the other ones are shocking, but then this one, I'm like, I don't know. But that's a me thing. Don't worry about it.
It's a me.
It's a me a thing. Hello. Demonetized.
Mario.
Yeah. Nintendo comes after us. Immediately. That's funny.
It has been quite some time. But we're here. And
yeah, we have another dog now.
Mm-hmm.
That's how long now. It's been.
Yeah.
There's a third dog in the room.
Kipper.
Is he sleeping?
He's sleeping. Finally. He's on my desk right now.
Stay the fuck asleep.
He's sleeping. If you guys hear a puppy sometime in the podcast, go, woo, that's him.
In between last month, we spent some time to celebrate our 5th anniversary, which was fun. I hope it was fun for you. I put out the first episode again a couple weeks ago.
Oh. The first episode?
The very first episode. Whoa. I did a re-release.
Oh, yeah, because we were pronouncing Zavis all weird.
Yeah, yeah, we were saying Zavis.
I don't like it.
Oh, we added new like special Zavis effects, and Boba Fett died in the pit rather than an actual...
Yeah. I did a total remaster.
More do-backs.
way more do-backs.
Yeah, it's been fun. My voice is different now, so I had to go and re-record all my lines. That's what that was for.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I was wondering.
Yeah. It was fun, though, to listen to the first episode again. It was wild. There was some... It's fun the things that are, like, still part of the show, and it's fun the things that we immediately were like, no. And the stuff that, like, you guys were immediately like, no. I can smell my focaccia, and I want to make sure it doesn't burn. It just smells so good.
It smells so damn good.
It smells amazing in here.
It smells really good.
When... This is another difference between the first episode and now. Back then, we would eat first, and then we would play... And now Gressel makes us wait.
And just smell. Back then, we recorded dinner that first time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. And that was dumb. That was a dumb idea. It didn't really work. So, but it was an idea and we tried it. And
that's
how
what
you figure things out.
Yeah. That is the mind of, that's the way the creative process goes.
Yep. But it was. We did pizzas. I've gotten a lot better at making pizzas since then, I like to think.
Yes.
No. Empirically, that I am better at storytelling than I was back then. But yeah, it was fun to look back. It was really amazing to listen to all the incredible things that all of you or a bunch of you submitted to be part of the fan stories episode from last week. That was just like I literally cannot find the words to describe what that was like to listen to all of those. It was like a physical reaction. It was incredible.
We'll be listening to that while we're eating.
Yeah, maybe. We can if you want.
I would like to listen to that.
Yeah, cool. At least the last one.
Yep, I heard about this last one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It was it's pretty incredible what a lot of you said, and just very, very grateful for that. Truly, though, even though I'm struggling to find the words, it was really awesome and cool things to hear. So thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody who listens and who submitted stuff. The people who sent text like emails without an audio recording in, thank you for doing that. I've read them and appreciate them, and I'm going to try to respond to those as well. So thanks to everybody who sent stuff in that didn't make it to the show, and everybody who did, and everybody who listens in general. Thank you. The next half decade of the show begins now, I suppose.
I wonder how many dogs we'll have in another 5 years.
Uh-huh. Oh my God. Well, you're on track for four at least.
Wait, we're doing this for another five.
Wolfpack.
We're gonna have babies. We're gonna have kindergartens. We're gonna have.
Oh God!
You're gonna own
you'd
a
have
kindergarten.
To start is there something you want to tell us if you're gonna have a kindergartner in 5 years?
No. What I was gonna say is you can find Beth and I at San Diego Comic Con this year, 2023.
Baron.
Sewed up.
That's horrible.
No, I don't have anything to say about that. We're not good. No.
Mike's getting a talking to later.
Yeah. Every day. He's like, tonight, and I'm like, Michael.
Baby.
Michael.
Baby.
Michael.
It's Michael.
Yes, as Beth said, we are going to have dinner after we record.
It's spaghetti.
It's spaghetti.
It's spaghetti.
It's spaghetti and it's spritz.
I did not get stuff for.
You lied to me.
Oh no!
You said it was spritz and spaghetti.
No,
don't we
have that
lemon drink?
There's a tree.
That you bought?
Is there
it's
a tree?
A lemon soda. It's not alcoholic, right?
Yeah, I know. It might still be tasty.
You want lemon soda?
Can we make shitty
very
spritz?
Italian.
I kind of want one now.
Oh, we could do... That's another thing about the first couple episodes is we were all drinking beers.
Oh, we were all drinking. Those all first drinking. Few.
Yeah,
oh,
and yeah. I apologize to every... I have since apologized about that. When I drink and record the podcast, I decide that I'm the one who's going to talk the whole time.
that was half of us, at least.
Okay, good.
I get tired when I drink now, so...
Yeah, there was a... There was a lot more alcohol at the beginning. but... You know, we were still actively doing Drunk Disney. I think it was the end.
Yeah. I think it was the last stretch. End.
Yeah.
That's what killed it?
No,
no.
Dead Meat's what killed it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And aging.
I was talking about this online about how sometimes I have a hard time thinking about making new video content because of the history, the last 10 years of doing stuff online. In the different ways that I have, both with you guys alone, and I've decided that I'm not going to address it. I'm just going to be like, that Beth's dead. Oh. She's dead. And this is the new Beth. So don't worry about her.
The old Taylor can't come to the phone right now.
Yep.
She's dead.
People will be like, where are your birds? I don't know. She's dead. Everything's, I've got dogs now. You know?
They've transformed.
Bird Beth's dead.
Yeah.
That the birds transformed into dogs?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
New space, mm-hmm. New animals.
Yeah.
No, you're it's the gritty reboot.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Dark energy.
And she's like sexy now. And smarter.
I like that.
And our art's really good and everybody likes her.
You know what? I like this pitch.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. New Beth.
This is a Beth for the modern era. In 10 minutes I'm going to take the focaccia out and it looks fucking awesome.
You did it, man. You made a finger bread.
Oh, I have a tendency on this show, I'm sure you guys won't disagree, to sometimes do some chefy bullshit. And today I'm making red sauce and meatballs and spaghetti.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very excited about it. And I think it's going to be very, very delicious.
I would like everybody to know that when he says spaghetti, he ain't talking like he went to Maya's and bought some spaghetti. He made the pasta. I walked into the kitchen and he's got it draped. Well, sure. He's got it beautifully draped across a pasta drying rack. I'm so excited.
Wait first.
Yeah, it should be good. I am excited. I'm
top tier home chef.
Do we just not
James Gressel
play and eat pasta? No.
We have to.
We need content.
Do it for Fletcher.
Do it for him. Do it for him.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have spaghetti and meatballs later. Oh, but speaking of chefy bullshit, I am going to make a dessert with some molecular gastronomy elements.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh, don't tell me. I just want to eat it.
Yeah. So that will be fun as well. So we are going to get back into the story now before we get any more distracted. And we are going to continue the back half of season 5. Not really half. I don't know how much is left, but I think it's less than half. We'll see. So last we left you guys off, you had escaped Prince Cedric's hidden mountain lair, and you discovered that he was behind not only the mysterious cult, but he is the eponymous professor. Well, he was the one pulling all of these strings of all the bad stuff that was happening up in Didgerdon, and he has been trying to enter this mysterious cave in the mountains, but he could not do it. He was trying to obtain some halfling blood in order to do so, and it turns out that blood belonged to Margarine.
Ooh.
Oh.
Margarine opened that door. There was a big confrontation at the precipice, and Margarine opened the door.
Remind me how I did that?
With your blood. I think it was a classic.
Cut the hand, put it on the
thing,
wall.
Magic happens.
Okay.
Yes.
Wait, so Cedric, the like shitty brother,
yeah,
was the professor that Mike got drunk with?
No, he was that. It was, in hindsight, naming the bad guy the professor when there are a bunch of other professors might not have been the best idea in the world. That might get revised in the novel. But yes, he's the one that Mike got drunk with worked for him. All those
got
guys
it.
Showed
okay.
up again. They okay. they did, not all of them were killed upon that mountain. Dormac, the prince's right-hand man, turns out was somewhat of a double agent and is a member of the Light of the Aurora, the secret order that still believes in the Death Dragon Didgeridon, the namesake of the kingdom. And whether that is real, we will see. So you are all now about to enter. You cross the threshold into this mysterious cave.
Don't forget about the fucking James Bond sequence we had on Snow.
The James Bond sequence, yes, was
oh,
yes,
yeah.
your escape. Zavis driving the snow cat, Fletch with his motorcycle antics.
Antics? I impaled someone on a fork.
Yes, and the fork being used once again to impale. This is... How many? I think you're up to 6 or 7 impalements in the last like 4 sessions.
It's a long, sharp object. What else are you going to do with it?
That is fair. So when you cross the threshold of this cave, we're in it now. At first, all you see is an endless black void, totally devoid of light, just emptiness. It's so deep and so dark. No light penetrates it. Your dark vision does not function. It is a true kind of darkness, but you feel the depth of it, and the enormity of it affects all of you.
Reminds me of your mom.
Oh my god. I love how often, to get around me and Fletch having dark vision, you have to be like, yours doesn't work here. It's dark. It doesn't work.
I know. No. Doesn't work. But the enormity of it affects all of you except for Spaghetti Clown. Spaghetti Clown is not
what the fuck
impacted by this.
Well, see, pasta expands as you cook it, so I'm used to filling up space. Get a little of that.
Pasta expands as you cook it?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, you know, so I expand a little bit, I take up more space. What, you got a problem with that?
No, I don't.
Checks
out.
You looked at me like you needed to roll.
Roll for having a problem with that. Also, sorry that I slipped into like Sylvester Stallone for a minute there.
Yeah, you expand.
Who's with us? What set the person scene?
Because
we had the fight
You had the fight. There was a big confrontation, yes. Some of Cedric's guards and his cult members are still around. Not all of them were impaled upon the fork, although you definitely made a dent. Cedric is there. He had ridden up on the dragon that he was trying to use for experiments, that he had bewitched with necromancy. It was dead when it arrived.
Yucky. But that's not the mama dragon, Ruby Red Dragon.
No, that was part of a vision.
So he literally pulled a Night King.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Yes.
I do have a question now. Yes. I remembered a question that I have.
Okay.
I wrote in my notes, Ruby Red Dragon bigger than a city.
Yes. That was from a vision that Zabbis saw. Zabbis was curious, as were the rest of you, as to what was behind this door. Zabbis was possessed by Marta and used
and it flew,
projected over Marta out through the door, and then Zabbis saw a vision of an immense battlefield, a very open, like rolling wheat fields type field, where there were two opposing armies, and over the collecting camps flew an enormous ruby red dragon.
And then Marta didn't come back?
Marta did not
come
back.
Yeah, Marta's just stuck in there. Marta's stuck in like a VR experience.
And we opened the door and Marta was not immediately on the other side of the door. Okay.
No. Marta was not immediately there. However, it's interesting that you bring that particular detail back up, because as you start to step forward into the cave, you're kind of corralled in by all of the bad guys behind you. It is a also very James Bond-like in that it's now we're all in this together, you know, like we all have to get to the next part.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of being used as like you go first in case there are traps, you know.
So the vibes are bad.
The vibes are bad. The vibes are definitely bad.
Okay.
You get a bad vibe from the cave, from its enormity and vastness.
Except for me.
I can't see.
You can't see, but you feel it. You can feel how deep it is. Mm. And you can probably hear, and you have a sense of the vastness, and you feel almost a weight of it. It's off-putting, to say the least. And then behind you, you have all of these bad guys. You have Cedric and his cronies. And then behind him, you have the dragon. The dragon is not following you in. The dragon is staying outside, kind of blocking your exit. Big dragon. Not the biggest dragon you've seen, by any means. But very, very big. This is a full adult dragon. And very imposing and nasty looking. Still kind of bleeding from wounds that it suffered. And the dead, enchanted look in its eyes. So you have no choice but to continue forward. And as you do, the light from behind you, the opening that leads back out into the snowbank beyond, starts to collapse like a pinhole transition effect. It starts to pinhole in. It doesn't close. It's not a door closing. It's not the shape of the door that opened. It is a very clear, like, this is narrowing down like an aperture is closing.
Yuck.
As you step forward. Once every member of your makeshift exploration party...
And that Dormak's with us, too.
Dormak is with you, yes. Dormak is being treated as you are, where you're not... You have your weapons and things. You could turn and fight, but you're kind of captive a little bit, you know?
In the big spooky black cave.
Yes.
Don't know how much I want to take swings in here.
The light is closing, and once everybody crosses the threshold, that final little bit of pinhole aperture closes, and you are encased completely in darkness.
But we can't see it.
You can, Zabbis.
Me? Wait, can Mike?
No.
Or Fletch? Oh,
You see.
Wait, Zabbis, why are you laughing? I can't even
you
see where you are.
The outline of like the crest of a hill. Like you're seeing kind of like shapes. It's almost dark vision-y where you can see that like in front of you, not far away, or not particularly far away, there is like the crest of a hill.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see some change in, you know, there are objects that are closer, there is something that is further away. You have this sense that there is land that dips into a lower elevation ahead of you. So you can kind of see.
Okay.
Yeah. But nobody else can. And you can't see anybody else around you. And you have, you're almost, it's almost sensory deprivation tank, except you just have that vague physical sense of that there, where things are next to you. Spaghetti Clown.
Yep.
This place is lit the fuck up.
Whoa, oh. This place is lit.
There are tubes everywhere.
Spaghetti looking tubes?
Spaghetti looking tubes.
Whoa.
Are they expanding?
Wait, actually?
Yes, like they are.
Made of spaghetti.
They're very noodle-like. and they are all around the ceiling and kind of underneath the floor as if you're on a transparent floor, like a glass floor. And they look almost like...
Discovery Zone?
Kind of. Like...
Going DZ Discovery Zone.
They kind of light up. There's like there's something moving through them. They are not pasta colored. They're more greens and blues.
What's moving through them?
Light.
Okay.
When Spaghetti Clown says that this place is lit. Margarine, who has been side by side with Dormac this whole time, mm-hmm. I think she grabs onto Dormac's hand with her right, and then also reaches towards, like, tries to find Spaghetti Clown and grab onto his pants with her left. Because she can't see anything.
Right. Roll perception.
Ooh.
Dice rolls.
18 plus 1 is a 19.
Yeah, 19, you can find Spaghetti Clown's big poofy pants. Yeah.
Hi, it's me.
Oh, okay.
You can see. All right, you're the leader, and I'm just going to be here. Thank you.
What
this
else
place
do I see?
Sucks.
you can also see that the kind of path and the dip that Zabas sees, but you see it a different way. There is a particular light that is kind of floating there, that is like stopped in this stream noodle like dimmer light. Light tube. Light noodle.
I see a light noodle. No one else sees this light?
Shh, what? You saw something? You see a light noodle?
Describe it in detail for the record keepers, creature.
No, I don't think I will. Thank you.
Who has secret rings?
Wait, yeah, who has secret rings?
Oh, I forget who doesn't have one.
Question.
I think me and Flash.
We need to get another one so we don't have to constantly figure out who
or we could just keep fucking track of it like our audience probably does.
Me and Fletch have secret rings.
Zabas, I think has the other one.
I have the at one point I got
one. Because
there
was a trade-off.
Yeah, because there was a split up.
Secret rings. Okay, it's very dark in here. I can kind of see some stuff. It sounds like Spaghetti Clown can like actually see stuff, like I believe him. But what if we just all pretend we see stuff and just make some shit up?
Oh, I love
and,
this.
And, like, you know?
Yes.
Like, act like, oh, we can all see, especially you, Marjorie, because you have, like, special blood. Like, you could make up whatever, and they would probably believe you. I don't know. I don't have any other, like, idea of where that goes after that, but I kind of just want to fuck with them.
Not secret rings. There's holes all over the ground.
There you go.
There's holes everywhere.
Wait,
look
no,
at the... There's holes.
Oh, yeah.
Watch out for the holes.
Oh, you guys see those holes, too?
Wait. I feel one.
Oh, we feel a big old hole over here.
Yeah,
where are these holes? Describe these holes.
They're everywhere, man.
They're holes. What do you want to describe?
Like when you throw a pencil at a ceiling a lot because you're bored, and then there's holes there, but they're kind of unpredictable. There isn't like a clear pattern because you're not really good at aiming your pencil at the ceiling, but it's just kind of the general area of like the tile.
Someone else describe the holes.
I think I heard a werewolf coming out of one of the holes. So don't fall in because you'll get probably eaten.
Like here, okay, I'm gonna like throw something down one and we'll see how deep it is. I just pretend I'm throwing something and like, oh wow, no, yeah, you can't hear anything.
I didn't hear anything.
Wow, that thing is still
really
going,
deep.
I guess.
Scribe, take down that there are holes that seem endless and vast. The vastness of this place is astounding.
I like that word doing this to him again. Because we did this where he like fell into like, was it like the lava? Mm-hmm. There were like the holes too.
The floor collapsed.
Like
yes.
That was actual for real. But still.
Hey, Scribe, also right down there, the werewolves.
Do you hear what? I don't hear these. I can hear you speaking, but I don't hear these werewolves.
Well, I have keen ears, unlike you. So I'm just, hey, listen, I'm just looking out for everybody's safety here, all right?
In theory, that you just hear a pen scratch.
Secret rings. What if we use the bracelet of light to light up this place and blind everybody? Like we could like close our eyes and...
Fletch, I just told him that there's a bunch of holes in the ground.
Yeah, but there, if we say like, oh shit, what's that? And then light the place up, they're all going to get blind. No, it's so dark.
They won't go blind, they'll just be able to see.
Okay, so I guess we should just keep moving forward.
I can't prestidigitation and make it sound like there's maybe like a creature coming from like a hole in the ground.
What was that?
Oh, it's a tragedy that no one saw my face. Yeah, that was insane.
I covered it up.
Yeah.
I covered my face because it was horrifying.
That was
a part of
it. That's good. Michael, that was like some Frank Welker, like animal sound effects.
Absolutely do not want to see what Mike just did if you look down a hole.
Yeah.
Hello.
The outsiders are telling the truth. Scribe, make note.
Yeah, I think since we can see and you guys can't, you should probably just stay there while we go forward, because I don't want you falling in these holes. Best case scenario, you twist your ankle. Worst case, you just keep falling forever.
That thing eats you.
Or that thing gets you.
And the smaller you are, the more delicious you taste. So, looking at you, Cedric.
True?
Yeah, no.
What's stopping us from moving forward?
Nothing.
All right, cool. Just gonna say that. And wait, because I can't see.
I start moving forward.
Nice, he picked up on my hint.
Do we know why they brought us in here? I forget.
They needed Marjorie to open the door.
Okay, but they do not know what is in here. Nope. It's just a mystery.
Can I go around since I can see, and can I like go around and touch everybody, like pat them so that they know to kind of grab onto my clown clothes and I can lead them?
Yes.
Okay. I do that.
Zabbis, when Spaghetti Clown touches you, you can see like the outline of the hand.
Oh.
What?
Like just, I can just like see his hand.
Yeah. Like it's like as he's pulling away, you can see like the outline of it and then it kind of fades away.
Oh, like the System of a Down cover?
Oh, hey, Spaghetti Clown, can you just give us, like, a long piece of spaghetti and we can all hold on to it?
Oh.
And that way we can all move
as
one?
Yeah, that's a good idea. We'll use the spaghetti as a rope.
Yeah.
Always have rope.
Oh. Yeah, but we also always have spaghetti. Have spaghetti. So
we can eat it after
we'll
we're
do
done.
That. Yeah.
Ew.
I do that.
Okay, you guys have made yourselves a...
To a toddler chain?
A toddler chain.
Yeah.
That is exactly what I was imagining.
Like when you see kids on a field trip.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You are all bound by spaghetti now. Where do you go?
I don't know. Like, what's in front of me? All I know is that there are tubes on the ceiling and in the floor
below
us.
Tubes on the ceiling, tubes in the floor. The curves up and then tips down. And when it tips down, there's a light that's kind of like caught there. You can see that it's like stuck. These other tubes all have lights moving through them at various speeds and... you know, brightness levels. But this one is just kind of stuck there.
I guess, yeah, we head there.
Okay.
Stuck light.
Zabbis, as you get closer to this light, your vision starts to change and you start to see, it's like you're looking into sunlight. It's like bright sun is coming over a hill.
Does it hurt?
No, but it's like, you know, you probably put a hand up kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I keep walking towards that.
You keep walking towards that, and as you get closer, and as your eyes adjust to the light, you're no longer in the cave. You are on that field
Marta
saw.
Like,
what?
Even though I was still holding on to, like, the spaghetti, like,
The spaghetti is still attached to you. Everybody else is now getting kind of pulled into this. You, Marjorie, you, Fletch. Now see bright light, the same kind of thing. Like there's sunlight coming over a hill. and your eyes adjust, and you see this field stretch before you, this open field with these military camps. Spaghetti Clown, your vision flashes red, and then you are there as well. But you can still see the tubes and the lights. And what you see is, as the battle is raging, not far from you guys, these lights start to float up from the battlefield, a bunch of these different lights, and they start to join these tubes that are harder to see in the bright sunlight, but you can still see them floating through the sky. And these lights float up and they join the tubes and they float away.
Are these souls?
Oh, God. We're in like a soul harvesting factory?
The rest of you see that you have seemingly joined a very intense battle. It is raging between two warring factions, one of which you recognize to be the black and white uniforms of Talon, the Talon Empire, although they are very old, very archaic in their style, very outdated. But roll history, somebody.
I'm not seeing this.
You are.
Okay.
But you're also seeing everything else.
Okay.
It does not make sense that I would know anything about this, but I did roll a 21.
Whisper in my ear, and then I'll say it.
It does not make sense. I think you would have to have a harder roll, like a harder DC, to be like, how would Margarine know this?
In this moment, I'm Margarine, and Margarine's trying to figure out if this is a vision or if this is real. So she's like reaching out to touch stuff.
When you reach out to touch stuff, Margarine, you get a sense that you are a lot taller than you should be.
What?
And you see that you have a gloved hand, like a gauntleted hand.
I take it off.
You have a human hand.
How old is it?
20s.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Oh no.
Hey everybody, Gressel here. Thanks so much for listening to episode 172 of D&D&D. And thank you so much to everybody who submitted to and listened to our anniversary stories episode. It really was incredible. I talked about it a little bit at the beginning of this session. Still feeling a lot of feelings about it. So thank you so much to everybody who participated in that. On either side of it, submitting for it, listening to the show, you're still part of it. Everybody who's been a part of the last 5 years, thank you so much. Really excited to get into the next part now that we are in the back half of season 5, back half of the year. So we are moving forward and very excited for it. Thanks for your patience last week. Took a little vacation. Was very needed and very reinvigorating. It was a good trip. Went up to Seattle, saw the Pop Culture Museum, went to the Fantasy Exhibit. It was really a great exhibit up there if you're ever in the Seattle area and have a chance to visit that museum. Big recommend. The Fantasy Exhibit was a really affecting for me, and I really enjoyed seeing a lot of stuff on display there. Some D&D stuff, a lot of Lord of the Rings stuff, all kinds of great things all throughout the museum, incredible pop culture things across the entire pop culture spectrum. So big recommend for that museum if you're in the Seattle area. And Seattle in general, it was a lovely city. Shout out to all our Pacific Northwest listeners, beautiful area of the country. So thanks for that and for listening to this week's episode. We will be back next week with the next part of this one. And then we will continue on through the rest of the year. Patrons, you'll be getting a recipe card for the spaghetti dinner that we had for this session that everybody was so excited for as we were playing and smelling it cook. It was very, very good. And then t-shirts will be coming as soon as Beth can finish those designs. There are a couple that are owed for the beginning of the year, and we'll get two more out for the end of the year. So all four t-shirts for 2023 are coming. We will get those to patrons as soon as the designs are available. Thanks again to everybody who supports us at patreon.com/dndndpod. Beth and Mike are going to be at San Diego Comic-Con July 19th through the 23rd, or July 20th through the 23rd, whatever the actual dates of the con are. And James and Chelsea are going to be at Midsummer Scream July 28th through the 30th. And then Beth is going to be at OtakaCon the first weekend of August, the 4th, 5th, and 6th. So be sure to check them out at those cons if you are attending, or attend those cons if you want to see them. You probably can't get Comic-Con tickets at this point. But if you are going to be in San Diego, be sure to say hi to Beth and Mike. Always get a kick out of D&D listeners who stop by the booth. So go say hi. That's it for me for this one. Just a couple of ads, and then we'll get you right back to it. Thanks, everybody. Do what's fun.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, oh, wow. Oh, my voice. Oh.
Marjorie.
I take off my helmet.
Yeah, you what's have
my
a
hair,
helmet.
What's my hair look like?
It's gorgeous.
Wait, do we all look weird?
You're all humans.
Ew.
Do we Oh.
What about Spaghetti Clown?
Spaghetti Clown is Spaghetti Clown.
Oh. Whoa. Yo. What?
But oh wait, you're still Spaghetti Clown?
Yeah.
What is it?
Wow, you're all so short now. Oh, I want to do things in this body.
And I run
with what, like right into
No, no, don't do that.
I just want to run on the field cuz my hips don't hurt.
You run your long legs.
I let go of the noodle.
You let go of the noodle, you run. A sword belt slaps against your side as you run. You feel the weight of it against you.
I'm wearing the sword belt that slapped against my side.
Yes, you are.
Nobody was like, get back in line, mister, and slapped me with their sword belt. Okay, cool.
No. You're wearing it. It's a sword and a scabbard, and you are wearing it. You're wearing, chainmail. You have the, heraldry of Talon, over that mail, and you are realizing that in the present moment, you seem to be a Talon soldier.
I run back. Okay. I tell them that.
You see that they also are dressed the same. They have similar kind of weapons. Fletch, the person that Fletch is now, a young man, has an axe instead of a sword, but otherwise similarly outfitted. Zabbis, also a young man, a little bit prettier than Fletch. It seems that some of those kind of attributes carried over. Fletch is a little bit rougher looking, but also beefier and stronger looking.
Spaghetti Clown, I have bad news for you. You're still ugly.
Hey, I'm still myself, all right?
And you stand out like a sore thumb. We're all black and white. You're red like blood.
What? No, I'm...
You're covered in sauce.
Oh, yeah.
your white and purple clown suit has been stained.
Does anyone notice us in this vision that we're seeing?
People are primarily focused on the battle that is happening.
people are just focused on not dying.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to be focused on dying as well, or that is the result of maybe not being focused on the battle.
But it seems that maybe our reality changed.
Oh my god.
Spaghetti Clown, won't you poke me?
Yeah, with my fork or what?
Yeah, I don't know. Just poke me.
I'm poking this weirdo.
Do I feel it?
You feel it, yes.
Oh, I feel it.
Yep.
Wait, so this is real, but it's not real. But it's real.
Yes.
So can we die then?
Why are we all British?
That would be Talon, I guess.
I didn't mean to be British. I don't know what I thought was going to happen in this mountaintop cave, but it certainly was not this. Why are we here?
I turn to see if maybe Cedric, can I still see the folks that we left?
Nope.
And there's no sort of like doorway to darkness behind us?
Nope. You look behind you from the direction that you came and you see a tent.
Hey, Cedric, can you still hear us?
Did you fall in a hole?
Did you fall in one of the holes?
You stupid fucking idiot!
Oh, nice, dude.
You wait for a response, and after a moment, you hear a a enormous, deep, bellowing roar from above.
Oh, no.
That's not good.
So wait, okay. So I've seen this scene before as Zavis. Okay.
Yes, yeah. You have. This is familiar to you. So this is what you saw as Marta.
Yeah, I've been here before. Because I...
How old are you?
No. Like, we... I sent... Because, well, I sent Marta through this
through
door.
Through the door. And this is what she
this
saw.
This is what was in here. Do I see Marta?
Roll perception.
24.
24, yes. You look into the fray, into the battle, and you see... Marta fighting for her life against.
Does she look like a person?
She looks like a person.
Weird.
She has
She's
legs.
Not see-through.
She's not see-through. She has like long wispy hair. She has, you know, all of her regular human features. And she's fighting, and she's fighting intensely. And she has that giant two-handed greatsword that she is fighting with. And she's swinging it around, and you now can see Marta, pretty strong person. You know, she's fighting with this big-ass sword, and she's fighting off probably three attackers at once right now. There's other fighting happening around her. She just, like, cleaves a guy in half.
Oh, my God. I feel...
Blood sprays on her. She's screaming. Everybody's screaming. There's all kinds of nasty stuff happening. It is a big time old school medieval battle. And Spaghetti Clown, after you follow Zabbis's gaze and sees Marta cleave the guy in half, and you watch this light load up from the opening between the two halves and up and join the tubes that are still.
Did you guys see that?
You did not.
We don't see that.
I'm just looking at my muscles.
Did you guys see Marta fucking cleave that guy in half?
I'm just thinking about how, like, I've been keeping this, like, woman in, like, a staff who could definitely kill me. You know, and it just makes me feel weird.
Did nobody see that? Nobody's paying attention to what's going on over here?
Why are you yelling?
Because we're on a battlefield. It's fucking loud.
Wait, so did we time travel?
Oh my God. Okay. I don't know what you guys are seeing. I'm seeing lights, aka souls, leaving peoples as they dies. They goes up to the skies. There's tubes up there.
That makes sense, because we're in this, like, sometimes I'm British and sometimes I'm not. This is fascinating. We're in this death dragon dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe something siphoning those souls off. Could it perhaps be the Death Dragon? But Diddorydon hasn't been seen in centuries.
I'm just watching Marta slice people in half. Is no one else, like, focused on that? Because that's, like, one of the more fucked up things I've ever seen.
Well, why don't we just go help Marta out, and then we'll have a chat and see what the deal is. Right?
Yeah, I'm sure she'll... Yeah.
Spaghetti Clown, yeah. What direction are the lights going?
Up, and then when they reach, don't they reach tubes?
They reach tubes.
And then where do they go?
Series 2.
East? North? Northeast?
Away from us?
Away from you.
So there is a direction that they're all leading.
There is a direction.
Can we go that way?
Let's follow the souls.
Okay. Marjorie doesn't have a deep connection with Marta.
I have a question. So, like, it fully looks like we are in a different place. It doesn't look like a projection of, like, a field, but we can still tell we're in a cave.
Nope. As far as you see and perceive, you are in a different place.
Okay.
Oh, wait, this sucks, because if we help Marta, then that would change the timeline, so we must... We shouldn't do anything. We should...
Let her get killed.
I hate that.
It's not great.
We should follow the light.
But it has implications.
I don't even know. Like, can we interfere with what's going on? And I look over at...
Yeah.
Do I have any projectile weapons?
I should see if they can even, like, see us or care.
Yeah. Let's trip one. And then Spaghetti Clown blows a guy's head off.
I think I have a crossbow.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, I shoot it at one of the soldiers. Who's Talon fighting?
Talon is fighting a horde of soldiers that look to be less well equipped. Well, yes, that's not right. That's
less, a bad less well equipped.
Yeah,
less
but equipped. That's bad. Yeah, they have worse equipment than Talon. It's more primitive. They don't have as nice of armor. Most of it is hide or leather at best.
Oh, they're fighting underdogs.
They are.
They're squashing a rebellion.
They're fighting something. Talon and
Marta's
seems,
fighting for Talon.
Marta's fighting for Talon, and they seem to be much more organized. They're fighting.
Well, I ain't gonna. Yeah, I gotta pick a fucking loser. I shoot a crossbow at one of the
foes.
Yeah,
one of the Scots. that was a history joke.
And yeah,
if you've watched Outlander, then you know.
Then you know. Okay.
What was your role, James?
Oh, I didn't. 22.
You shoot your crossbow, and a bolt of lightning comes with it. Or the bolt becomes a lightning bolt.
Lightning bolt.
It slams into this basically unarmored person. And they jolt like a bobblekin in Tears of the Kingdom, and drop their weapon. The soldier the Talon soldier that was fighting this foe takes the opportunity to stab them, and then they die. And you see a light float up from them as as some smoke comes up from the electrified corpse.
Does the Talon soldier look at where the lightning bolt came from?
Yes, he does.
I wave at him.
He doesn't wave back. He just kind of nods to the rest of you and then goes and turns and starts fighting again.
It's because of my hair.
What things have you changed about history?
I don't know, but yeah, we can definitely interfere here.
You might have just killed your, like, I don't know, relative of something.
I mean, did it look like a clown, so I feel like I'm okay?
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean to piss on all your fun ideas, but I don't think that we can travel through time. This feels like... it feels just like a power source. Like this war could be replayed over and over and over here, and the souls feeding constantly, trapped and then recycled and trapped. Some death maw.
So should we die and then go on the tubes and then we'll be
resuscitated? Let's follow the souls.
What if we get ourselves killed and we go up in the tubes?
Well, that's what I just said, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what?
That sounds like a big old gamble to me. That sounds like some pretty heavy faith-based stuff that if you guys want to try it.
No, you know what? No, that's this person's body and mind taking over. That's not what I would have thought to do, because that's idiotic, obviously. So let's follow the source, yeah?
Yes.
You look up and you follow the piping, like Ellie Sattler in Jurassic Park, and you you kind of sidestep some of the battle. You have to weave your way through.
Oh, excuse me.
Yep. Pardon me.
The other soldiers don't really interact with you too much. Me. You occasionally have to, you know, step back as some fighting spills over in front of you. But so far, you're kind of able to just kind of sneak around as if you're there, but you're not there.
Has Marta noticed us?
Marta has not noticed you. Marta continues her fight. Marta is making her way. She's kind of fighting her way alongside you. It seems almost as if her path is paralleling yours, at least to an extent. She seems very skilled and has held her own. You look ahead, Zabbis being more preoccupied with Marta than the rest of the team, to kind of see what her goal is or where she's heading. And you can see that the tubes are taking you in the same direction that she's trying to fight. And it looks as though she's trying to fight her way towards, seems to be a commanding officer of sorts, a older, not older, but, you know, middle-aged blonde man, broad-shouldered. He has a one-handed sword, like a very nice, like, hand-and-a-half sword and a shield that he is fighting with. And he is just ripping through people. This guy is very, very good at fighting and killing. He is commanding other Talon soldiers who are, you know, coming to his side, forming up with him. They're launching their, you know, little counteroffensives as the enemies are trying to encircle them. They're clearly starting to get the upper hand until there's another roar from above.
What is that?
And you look up, Margarine, and you see a shadow overtake your field of vision, and the sun is blocked out momentarily, and a shape, an enormous, enormous shape is coming towards you, and the shadow becomes red. The light reflected on you is red. It's gleaming down this ruby red, gem-toned color, and it's getting closer and closer, and you see, as your eyes adjust, the shape of a giant dragon getting closer and closer to you. But as it does, it starts to transform. And by the time it reaches the ground, it steps onto the ground instead of landing with two humanoid feet and a huge, like 8 to 10 foot tall humanoid dragon figure steps towards this guy, the leader that Marta was going to join, to fight as a humanoid person.
I think we've all stopped to just watch in awe.
This dragon figure in brilliant ruby plate mail and like a headdress, like they're not necessarily, they have some reptilian features still, but it's hard to tell what's armor and what's person. Big like claw hands that pull from his back a huge sword. Fletch, roll history with advantage.
Does it have a human face or does it have like a lizard muzzle?
The face is kind of hidden behind a huge ruby helm.
Oh.
19.
The sword that it draws is Eagle Strike.
Oh shit, that's Eagle Strike!
Oh! It is!
A cool boy, mate, it's Eagle Strike!
It's larger than you know it, but there is no mistaking that golden blade. And this figure steps forward to square up against the Talon commander, who, Margarine, roll history.
Oh, 18.
Now that you are looking at this guy, he shares some features with Percival Stokeworth.
The blonde commander.
From Ravenscrest, yeah.
No way.
He's not him.
Yeah.
But he looks like him a little bit.
No way.
Way.
Okay.
And you watch as the two start to cross swords. And
Marta and this guy?
No, Percival.
The commander and
or not Percival.
The dragon guy.
Beefy Link and Scarlet Dragon.
Yeah. They start to fight.
Wait, is this the commander that Marta was making her way to? Mm-hmm. Okay.
What was Marta doing?
Marta is joining the fight. She is also starting to fight this guy, as are some other Talon soldiers.
Oh, Marta was trying to make her way to the commander to
join
him.
Oh, yes.
I thought like making her way there to fight it.
No.
Oh,
she was making. She was going to help. Yeah. So they all start fighting this dragon guy, and the dragon guy is easily holding his own. He swipes away without even thinking about it. A couple Talon soldiers, Spaghetti Clown, and you see their lights float up to join the tubes.
Right. Remind me, Gressel. Stokeworth had Eagle Strike. He owned Eagle Strike.
He did.
All right, guys, let's find a little berm and tuck down beneath it, behind it, and watch what happens here. Because this, I'm on your side. It's history now.
Oh, you don't want to...
Can I just want to see what happens?
I just want to see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all going to watch Marta get slain.
Oh.
But that's most likely what's going to happen.
I wasn't looking at her. I'm more interested in what the men are doing.
I don't even know her. Sorry. This woman.
The fight is crazy. The acrobatics on display are quite impressive. The strength with which the dragon man is swinging the sword and raining down blows is also incredible. Streaks of fire follow Eagle Strike as it slashes through the air, and sparks erupt when it makes contact with the swords of the Talon soldiers. Several more are easily killed.
I just can't sit here. I feel like the way that the history play out would be, what if we helped and that's how we got Eagle Strike to the blonde
but
guy?
But then it's contradictory, because then if Marta doesn't die...
I guess then we have to kill her?
Oh my god!
No, obviously that would... So what am I saying? I run!
Oh, man.
D&D is a Moorpark Media podcast and a Spotify preferred partner. Written and edited by me, James Gressel. D&D is performed by James A. Janisse, Chelsea Rebecca, Beth Bradloff, and Mike Seigen.